Welcome back to another episode of Hot Comics. I'm Lysandra Vasquez.
And I'm Brandi Unger.
And today we have a very special comedian for you.
Jasmine Ellis.
Yes, she is she came into Atlanta from Los Angeles just to grace us with her beautiful presence.
Yeah, it was, and she has a presence. Mm-hmm. Like, her presence was our present.
Amen. And there you go. Enjoy. Jasmine Ellis. Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi.
Oh my gosh, beautiful. Again, the audacity to look so beautiful on our podcast. Hot Comics. Nice. Okay.
Thank you. It'll hold for like 2 seconds until the humidity humbles me again. Mm. Atlanta humidity is not a joke. Not a joke at all.
Humility and the humidity. Well, so you brought us a hot topic though.
Mm-hmm.
And she is written in my necklace too. You
know? Virgo. Yes. Yeah, yes. Astrology. Mm-hmm, so I should... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
It is. And to us too. Whatever.
It's okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have strong feelings about astrology. And here's the thing is like, I used to think astrology wasn't real. I was like, it doesn't make that sense. Because when I would read my horoscope, I'm a Pisces. And Pisces are notorious for being whiny do-nothings. That's just, you know what I mean? They don't accomplish a whole lot in their lives. Uh-huh. But like, one sign can't be every. First of all, Rihanna. Pisces, she does a lot of things. Now, does she do the things people are demanding of her? No. Is she ever going to give us an album? Absolutely not.
She doesn't care.
She doesn't need to care.
She doesn't need to care. We didn't ask for draws, but we keep buying them. You know what I mean?
She's just another eyeliner.
Nobody asked her to take down Victoria's Secret, but she did it. Have you noticed their like body inclusive ads now?
Yeah.
I got this one with this Christ. I picked it. I was like, it's just too little too late. Like, sorry, y'all should have put some ass in here years ago. We had it.
Yeah. Oh, love. And then like we want music, a baby.
A baby.
Yeah. No, she, Rihanna, we love
she
her.
She just gives what she wants.
Yes. And that's the thing about Pisces. But here's the thing is when you have a surface understanding of astrology, which is what I think most of the population does, it sounds fake to you. Because you're like, my whole personality can't be just this one thing. But then I found out that you have different, like, okay, the moment you're born, all the planets, you guys already know this. I feel it.
I will say I'm a light astrology.
You give off astrology, girl, more so. Maybe it's just you in the setting, the browns, the topes.
I know what I give off, but like my knowledge base, I look like I know what I'm talking about with it. I'm just a Cancer, and that's really all I know.
Oh. Yeah. It's very glossier. It's very, you know what I mean? You'd fit, yes. I could just drop you in LA and you just, right there. You know what I mean? You'd fit right in.
Thank you.
And if it weren't for the Virgo necklace, I wouldn't have got that vibe from you because you're a little bit more type A.
Honestly, thank you.
But then I am like sitting in a nest of your crystals. This is all.
Again, we've addressed this a couple times. People have never seen the back of this, but I do have a ton of crystals and tarot cards behind the camera.
And a vision board. By the way, I'm obsessed with vision boards. Here's my thing about vision boards. I do one a year and then don't look at it or do any of the things you're supposed to do and like check in with it. But because I think I have trouble with vision boards because I'm also, this is going to sound as woo-woo as I am, I'm also Christian. I don't know if I'm Christian, like, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible I'm like, eh. But then I also remember a bunch of guys rewrote it a bunch of times and like, how often do I listen to men, right?
True.
That part.
Just about never. So... Just about never. So I think what it is in my head, writing things down, cutting up a magazine, like if you believe in like you're asking the universe, it makes sense. But if I believe that there is like a person up or an entity or a thing.
Yeah.
And it feels a little bit like a ransom note. You know what I mean? It feels like these are my demands, Jesus. You know, it's just.
Yes. It's a ransom note to the higher power.
Yes, like these are look, but there's no threat, so maybe that's why mines don't work. You know what I mean?
It needs to be more threatening.
Because I keep putting Netflix on there, and maybe I need to be more specific, like a Netflix special. Because instead, it's just like you still have a Netflix subscription. We listen.
We listen. You have Netflix.
Netflix is present in your life,
and you have people getting Netflix specials around you.
That is true. Maybe I need to be more specific.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's why I think astrology should be respected.
Okay.
Because that's the thing is like, I'm like, a lot of people are getting into it, and then there are so many people who make fun of them for them. They're like, oh, it doesn't make any sense. But it's like, if you have the capacity to listen to a person talk about their religion, their faith, their sports team, crypto, other bullshit that doesn't directly affect you, you can let, which is you, crypto. Yes.
Shit is fake. I don't care.
Yeah, it's not tangible.
Astrology is more real than crypto.
Yes. Like, it's
let that be my political stance.
I can touch a crystal. I can't touch a crypto.
This is my part. Like, when I talk about this on stage, I'll be like, fellas, if you're tuning out, go ahead and buy an NFT. I'll be back. Okay. Like, I'll just clock out like you do when women speak. I'll be back. Yeah. But so I just think that, like, if you have the capacity to respect things that you don't believe in, then just don't. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not Jewish. I'm not Muslim. I'm not Catholic, whatever. Yeah. I can go, but that is someone's fate. It's a thing. There's enough evidence as to why astrology works when you understand it even a little bit past the cursory that I think is good. So anyways, your sun sign is just one part of you. It's like your base self. That's sometimes your unevolved self. It's sometimes who you are before you learn and are conditioned by the world. Mm-hmm. So how many times have people especially the skeptics really thought about who they would be if they were influenced to be other things? You know what I mean? How do you naturally react? Yeah. What's your first reaction? Yeah. So then you have your rising sign. That's how you come off when people first meet you. Yeah. Then you've got your moon. That's who you are when you're the most comfortable. Mm-hmm. So like mine, if I just were break it down into just stereotypes, my big three, my sun sign, Pisces, that's crybaby. Mm-hmm. My moon sign, Aquarius, that's the weirdo. We're just going with like one sentence quick. Yeah. And then Virgo, that's the planner. And that's just about, I'm a planner. I'm precise. I like, you know, you see how put together I look. Yeah. My brain thinks it's 5 a.m. Like, I'm mentally, I'm on LA time.
If I looked like that when I thought it was 5 a.m., girl.
But this focus on like appearances, organization, when people meet, they're always like, oh my God, you have your shit together. And then they're like, no, you don't. No, you don't.
We love a bait and switch.
So I'm like, yeah, Pisces, crybaby. But like Virgo, planner, you know what I mean? That's me. So like I keep everything organized. I schedule my cries and then I get them in and then I'm okay.
And, like, and then you're weird about it.
Yeah. The weirdness and the detachment is like when I'm the most comfortable. It's weird because most people get emotional when they're really comfortable and detached to survive. And I'm the exact opposite. Like when I'm things make me cry. Things make me emotional, blah, blah. And then when I get to a point where I'm really comfortable, I go, I don't really care about that. And that's how I know I'm okay, but it takes way longer, which is super backwards. Like, that's like, isn't that, it's strange. Like, I absorb everything. It's completely wrong for being a stand-up comedian. I'm just up there, like, I'm up there in everybody's head. Like, it's.
But you're emotional, which up front, which people love.
Yeah.
Like, that's the real, that's the good goods in comedy, you know?
Thank
like,
you.
People love. That you know, authentic emotion.
And you know
cry
who
on
else
stage.
Is real emotional? Trolls.
Trolls
on the internet.
They have a lot of feelings.
They do be emotional.
You know what? I'm going to start just writing back. Thank you so much for sharing your emotions with me. To every troll and just watch them block me. Because what I've been saying, my favorite comment back usually is, thank you for boosting me in the algorithm. Your support really helps. And that makes them very mad. I'm not like viral on the level of like some of our friends, like Kat, like I don't like, you know, Catherine, how she handles it is just so fucking great. But I've had a few things kind of take off and I'm not used to it. And when it happens, I'm always like really happy. But three things happen that make me feel really weird. Okay. The first is just like the outpour of like, oh my God, this is so funny. Cause it never feels, I'm so type A about my clips. To me, they have to be the perfect video. And I'm releasing myself from that and being like,
you're speaking to
the Virgo energy.
Yes, you won't ever post anything if you're looking for. So in my head, I think of every single way someone will be offended and everything they'll hate about it and how it's too similar to blank, blank, blankety, blank, blank, blank. And it's just like to the point where I won't do it. So then when I finally pull the trigger and someone's like, this is hilarious, I'm like, oh, you're not very smart. This isn't as good. See, criticism.
I'm roasted right now.
Which is terrible. I should love the positivity. So again, there's only three categories of the type of comments I get. The second kind, this is weird. People interact with it. So like this will be a stand-up clip from 2019 that I posted, right? And they interact with it as though the story is something like happening live. They're like, so here's what I tell him. And I'm like, I just look at the clip with no context in my day and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
They're like responding to it like it's, you're telling it only to them.
Yes.
That's funny.
Which is very, and so I've learned to just like those comments and walk away because I'm like, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, thanks, boo.
Yeah. And then another one is just like straight up just hate. Like I just get up hate, which is just like, that's not, this isn't funny, this sucks, that doesn't bother me. You know what I mean?
Women. Another not funny woman.
Yeah. That bothers me because those guys never comment like on
they don't have profile pictures. They don't have
they've never posted anything.
No, they've never posted anything.
They're also not funny.
Yeah, I do think.
Ever give you comedy tips?
Oh God, a little bit on my Dry Bar special when that first released. Like she's got promise, but you can really tell that the audience doesn't like her. A real comic knows how to adjust to the crowd. And I thought, in the temptation to break down, like for example, my Dry Bar special, that was recorded in Provo, Utah. Provo, Utah.
I don't even know.
I upped their black percentage to 4% by being there that weekend.
The one.
you know what I mean? They're literally looking and they don't understand. They don't understand. I'm in front of 100 sober Mormons eating candy at 10 p.m. They are so confused by my entire existence.
Yes.
They don't, but the audience, and that's what frustrates, is the audience online compares you to. You know, a stand-up at the height of their career when the crowd loves them and it's warmed up and it's the middle of an edited. They compare you to the best Netflix special they've ever seen.
Yeah, like Chris Rock, who has a 30 years gaining trust with the public and his one joke in the middle, like the end of his set. Yeah.
Well, because, and also they don't understand too that like, they think we're all just making it up.
Yeah.
So they're like, she's not as good as the other just make it uppers. And I'm like, you mean the just make it upper who had 9 years to do this? And like with me too, it's been, my Dry Bar special was really frustrating. I love it. I mean, I love it, but I did an album myself, self-produced. And I'm trying to release that as a special soon. Took 6 years writing that material and just did what I love. So it's good. I love it. It's called Trash Baby. You can find it everywhere. It's awesome. And then literally 2 months later, I got the opportunity to do Dry Bar specials. So I had to just like kind of come to the drawing board and just create something as fast as I could. So it's not as good. And I'm okay with that. But it's like, it's frustrating because it's like, anyway, the criticism. But when I get the straight up hate, though, I get mad when the hate is nonsensical. Not when it's just mean. Like when someone's just like, oh, like, okay, when they call me fat, I'm just like, I don't care. Although one time this lady was like, I made a joke about my husband and it's so tricky. Like the Dry Bar audience sometimes is like, they're really into like marriage, traditional marriage. And so me joking about my husband, even if it's nice, still feels disrespectful to them. Because how dare a woman say something bad about her husband, period.
Yeah.
Like I'm just teasing about him getting a sunburn and wearing cargo shorts. And like,
just that image, I guess.
Yes. Yes. And it's like people, they come in with their triggers and they react to one word and they comment before they even finish the video. It's very clear. So like I have this one joke that starts with like, look, when people ask me what's the tip for finding the right part, I'm like, well, have you settled? Settle today, you know.
That helps.
And then in the next part I go, and what I mean is, I don't think I settled with my husband, but I settled on some things that used to matter to me. Like I said, I'd never be with someone who wears cargo shorts. Now my husband's my purse. He has lots of compartments. So see what I'm saying? But if you like, it's like they type the comment at the first pause, you know what I mean? Like, and this lady was like, he settled for you because you're fat. And then I went to her page, screenshotted her picture, and I was like, I was like, you're fat too. I'm so glad we're in a club together. And that wasn't nice, but like, but you know what I mean? It's so weird too. I've never really had a skinny person call me fat. It's always been a fellow fat person. And like, the word fat has no power over me. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all. It's descriptive. Like my hair is brown. My eyes are brown. Yeah. I'm short. I'm fat. These are just descriptors. But fat people think, like fat people who hate themselves think that the worst thing they could call someone is fat. So they're so ready to just, like, and it's, I hate that. And I'm sure there are skinny assholes doing it too, but it's just, they can't believe it. So I don't like the egregious ones. Like, oh, I'm so fat. How could my husband settle for me? I'm a size 16. The average woman is my size. I look, anyone calling me fat on the internet, I look just like your mom. Tell your mom you called me fat and go tell your mom she's fat. We were in the same Lane Bryant. We bought the same pants. Your mom's a sweetheart. Give her a call. Let's go to TJ Maxx. You know what I mean?
Like, pop off.
Yeah. But it's just like, Even if I love a TJ Maxx.
We love it. Oh my God. I'm
nothing
a Maxx.
Against TJ Maxx.
I am a Maxinista.
Yeah, but like we know your mom's jeans are from there.
You know what I mean? So that one, and then this recent one I had go kind of viral, this cracked me up. So it's a joke about the way white guys used to hit on me in bars. And I'm noticing two patterns with it because I wrote this joke in like 2016 when I was in college. You know what I mean? Okay. And so it's like, or not in college, but like about what it was like dating in college and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So some of the comments are like, guys never come up to girls. This isn't real. And I'm like, y'all are so chronically online. But then again, maybe Gen Z is like that now. Yeah. Have men stopped hitting on women?
No, they hit on me, but they do the thing where they ask me for my Instagram handle instead of my phone
yeah.
number.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's the big thing. Like, what's your handle? Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They'll still come up to you. They're not as, like, I will say, like, they're not as good conversationalists, I think. Mm-hmm. Younger. The youngers are not as.
We're also around a lot of comics.
That's also true. But, yeah, they ask for your Instagram handle.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad I'm retired. I can't imagine. So this joke, you know, this old joke about pre-pandemic life dating, people are going, oh, I bet nobody talks to her. Nobody would look at her. I'm like, okay, whatever. Y'all weren't party rocking in the house tonight. You weren't there. Yeah. You weren't there. Look, when David Guetta made every song, dudes were doing it. All right. Oh, dudes were just coming up to you crotch first, like saying anything, mm-hmm. anything at all. Mm-hmm. If they would compliment. And so I would get these jokes where people were like these these lines where white guys would compare me to food. And so that's the joke. And
what?
Yes, like, oh man, I just love chocolate, and you know, you look like, it's so gross. And a lot of black women can relate to this. I have all these comments yeah. with black women relating to it, but then these people were like, no white guy has ever hit on her, no white guy would like her. And I was
that's
like,
not true.
Pause,
not true. Yeah,
stop. Because I like the implication that white men aren't picky is hilarious to me. That white men are picky. No, they're not. They're not.
They're gross.
I could get any of your dads at a Bass Pro Shop after I hit the TJ Maxx with your mom. Stop it. Stop lying on me.
Come into a strip mall near you.
I'm going to destroy your family at the strip mall, okay? I'm going to, like, don't you dare. Like, it's when the haters are lying that makes me mad. You know what I mean? Because saying I'm not funny is an opinion. You can have that opinion. Saying I'm not pretty is an opinion. But being like, you can't fuck a white guy. White guys are pristine diamonds kept in boxes. No, a white man is this highly unachievable. First of all, I have a white stalker and a white husband. Not that I like... went out of my way to collect either. Like I date who I love, and I dated a lot of men of different races, particularly black men, whatever. But I just this one white guy was there when I needed a beer, and he just kept being there. Okay. And then we got married, and then the stalker came later. You know, it's been a wild ride.
It's a cute little collection that
just keeping the white men.
Procuring a little collection of white men.
Yeah, good and bad in different directions.
You really do have the opposite ends of the spectrum. My
God. I know.
Jasmine
I know.
Will like, destroy your family.
If I get murdered, it will be one of them. And I don't like him, not my husband. Yeah. Not my husband.
But okay, so you guys were married. So you have experience going to a lot of weddings, mm-hmm. being in weddings.
Planning what's a wedding.
Did you guys have a big wedding?
Oh yeah, we had a big wedding. To me, it was big, but I've talked to other people. Like I was literally just talking to someone yesterday whose guest list was at like 225. So, you know, my 140 doesn't sound that bad now. But it was a lot. I have a big fan. So like, getting it down to that was really hard because my older sister got married 2 years earlier and she had like 250. So I knew I needed to like bring it down from there severely. And I have a big family. My dad is one of eight. My mom's one of seven.
Oh my God.
Each of their kids, each of their brothers and sisters have a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. And then they're married. So like just like cousin, like it's just if we just do people I'm legally or blood related to, we're looking at 100 people.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So that's like before we had to do like family and like friends. And it was just the guest list was such a so much work to, you know, putting that all together. And as far as people are like, well, what do you do to save money? And this is one of my favorite jokes, but it's true. It's just like, I'm like, I was talking to a couple the other day and they were Filipino and Vietnamese. And I was like, oh, you don't have a chance. I'm so sorry. Because my like number one way to save money on your guest list is like, just marry a WASP. like a wasp from like some guy from Wisconsin. Like those, wow. Like those people, like I'm not talking about Italians. I'm not talking about Cajuns. Yeah. I'm not talking about redneck. I'm talking about like
New England,
waspy, mm-hmm. middle of the country. Maybe not even Boston-y, because then you get Italian Irish. I mean like yeah. middle of the country, like casserole white people do not talk to each other. They stop talking to each other every 6 months. They hate each other. Like my, and like, I love my husband's family, but they all fit at one table. That's it. Like he has no, like, it's like, I'm like, do you have cousins? Like, and he's like, oh, you mean like my aunt's kids? Yeah, I have like four. I'm like, oh, like cousins. Like, no, they don't, there's no concept of like second and third cousins.
That doesn't exist.
They use the expression removed. I didn't even know what that meant. Growing up, when I heard someone was twice removed, I thought that meant that your family met together twice and kicked you out. I had no concept of like, you know what I mean? In my family, yeah. we don't even say half brother, half sister. Like, yeah. those are fighting words, but yeah, like,
I
like
love that.
Just like the, but look, if you want to save some money, marry a waspy person. I'm telling, if you time it out right, like if you time it with an election, they're going to cut each other off completely. Okay. you can get rid of half the family if it's during an election year.
2024.
Yeah, that's when you get married.
Money saving tips.
Yeah.
Shopping.
Go shop Mac. Get your wedding dress at TJ Maxx and save money in 2024 during the election when you get married.
Yep.
And then she'll break up your family. So like, just like, really,
you're a woman that wears many hats.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna make your dad sell his boat so he can finance my next life. Okay.
And he'll cook dinner by catching a fish that he got his fishing pole at Bass Pro Shop
before they rolled around in the hay. That's great. Weddings and big families. I'm Puerto Rican. I certainly know about that. It's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have my mom is one of 18.
You gotta be beat.
I can't.
I noticed by your lack of reaction to my numbers. I was like, she's about to tell me some. She's about to hit me with a hitter. She's.
I can't date a Puerto Rican.
18.
Our men were unfaithful. But they might all be related to me. Hmm.
You never know. Mm-hmm. Because when me and my husband went to get our wedding license or like our marriage license, they only asked us, I thought this was so funny. It only cost $75. It took us 15 minutes. And the only question they asked us is, do you believe your brother and sister? And
wait,
we were like,
oh my God.
Yeah, that was the only question they asked in the state of Texas. Do you believe your brother and sister? And we said, no.
Believe.
That's the question. Believe. So all you have to say is, no, I don't believe.
Not do you know this is not.
There was no blood test. Like, do you believe your brother and sister?
No.
That was it. And we were like, no.
I don't. What?
What?
That's it. And you were in and out. And so it was really funny because, like, you know, after we did that, technically, I think, like, we could have just gotten married. And I was like, wow, $75, 15 minutes, and one question. But instead, we spent $12,000 a year planning. 12K? Yeah, 12K. 12K if you include donations and stuff that came from our family. So it was like 10K out of our own pocket, which comparatively is actually really cheap. The average wedding.
I was going to say, you did that.
Oh, I pinched everywhere I could. We.
Good for you.
That's what made it so cheap. That's what made it so stressful.
Max and Easter
all
day.
That Virgo energy.
Yes. I used the Knot app. Shout out to the Knot app. Yeah. They're not sponsored. I just want y'all to know the Knot app is really great.
Swipe up for the Knot.
I was like, it was really, really hard, but I figured a lot of things out. And made it work. And then there were some gifts, like my mom gifted my wedding dress, which was really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Although there's so many conditions, like I have to see you in it first, and it has to be like the, you know what I mean? Love my mom.
No. Yeah. But like, so with weddings also come other family gatherings, which are funerals.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys also have big funerals?
Yes.
Probably go to a lot of them.
I mean, yeah, you want to have a big funeral. It means you were popular. I love the way my family celebrates good and bad. Like we even mourn good. And this is wild to say this, but when people are like, what's the last fun thing you did before the pandemic? I'm like, my grandpa's funeral was lit. Like, I don't know.
I love that.
I don't know if he was clairvoyant in that sense because he had been sick for a long time and had been holding out. And it was definitely like, you know, it's of course sad that he passed, but it was just like, I'm so happy that he's like, in my mind, you know, because of my faith, passed on to heaven and like in a better place. But it was really crazy because he died March 6th. And we had his funeral that Saturday. And keep in mind, so this is 2020.
Yeah, 2020, yeah.
So it's like, it was like the gate to the world we're closing around. It's like we were hearing about COVID and we didn't know what to do. So literally we just passed around hand sanitizer at the funeral.
Yeah.
Right. That was like,
yeah,
all
that's
you.
That's what we need, thought to do.
That's all that's we knew all to we do. Knew, yeah. So I go to Louisiana. I hadn't been to Louisiana in like 3 or 4 years. Yeah. And there were a lot of my family that couldn't make my wedding. So it was just great to get to see them. And like we had like in our, in Louisiana culture, we have, I'm Creole, by the way, like Black, French, Native American, et cetera, et cetera. But I just think of myself as Black. So we have like, we have big events. So first there's the wake. I don't like wakes. I'm not a big fan of seeing a body in a box like that. I don't. It's also weird because wake food is really good. But then that feels inappropriate to just be like, this mac and cheese is delicious while you're just eating it over a body. It's weird. I don't like it. I just don't think. It's not right, you know? We had this like big old fish fry. It was the first time my husband got to meet a lot of my extended family, which was like great. One of my aunts, Brenda, who is just like, she just has one of those personalities where you either love her or you're terrified of her.
Of course.
She gets like within an inch of his face and he goes, "You one of them Duck Dynasty people?"
That's what she chooses.
Yeah, no. She goes, "You look like you on that reality show." And I was like, "Why are you roasting my husband? I don't understand what happened to deserve this." So that was fun. And then the funeral, the night before, me and my cousin Greg were talking. And he was like, "Look, if somebody's singing off key at this funeral, don't look at me. Don't you dare look at me because I'm going to fucking laugh." And then sure enough, The choir was so damn off key. So it was like no one rehearsed. They were, and I think they were trying to social distance on stage, which like made it way worse. I don't think they could hear each other. Like the music was social distance. It was so bad. And I'm like, looking back, maybe we should have done this on Zoom. It was kind of a mess. And I made the mistake of looking at Greg. And then Greg like could not stop laughing to the point where he kind of like started fake crying to make up the, it was like, that. You know, it was just, it was wild like that.
A professional transition.
And then you know what else is really funny too is I love how like I think just culturally the way we are in funeral speeches, you know, we'll kind of like even if we love someone, we'll still kind of rib at them a little bit. So totally. One of my cousins was like, you know, but Papa was, you know, he was a nice man, but if you made him mad, you'd feel the wrath. And, you know, he'd get in you. And then my sister gets up there and she goes, "My Papa never yelled at me." And I don't know what y'all were doing, but I was Papa's favorite. And I appreciate that like level of shade in the speeches. I just, what a spectacle it all is. And I'm just,
I love it.
So after the funeral, we go out, like out, karaoke in the club. And it's so fun. The girls go to one club, the guys go to another club. And we're drinking daiquiris. We're just getting loose. And I feel like that sounds so crazy to be damn.
That sounds so fun.
Yes. Because we call it a homegoing. So we think of it as a celebration. As long as you know when someone isn't like, you know, murdered or commit something really bad. Gotcha. When an old person passes, it's like, yeah, this life sucks. On to the next one. Like, good for you. See you at the crossroads, you know? So we did karaoke. We sang SWV's "So Into You," and me and my sisters have our own little choreography. Oh, the crowd always goes when we hit one of those. With it, like they always, especially. Oh my god! Oh my god! They love it. So it was just
a crowd pleaser.
So much fun. I threw up and then was like, "Don't send me home. I'm fine." Because I was just drunk throwing up. They're like, "You gotta go home." So somebody came to get me and. And then, like, throughout all the midst of the chaos, we realized that, like, my sister didn't remember whose house she left our dog at. So, so there was, like, but
that's amazing.
It was just, and then, like, oh, my gosh. So my brother-in-law is kind of a mess. And he's, like, not a mess, like, a bad, but he's just funny. He just likes to do things for his own entertainment. Yeah. And some of my cousins, like, don't know my husband that well. My husband you know what makes him the happiest in the world? The Criterion sale. Like when all the classic movies and books go, like for a week he's walking around the house going, "Criterion girl." Like it is. He's a nerd. Oh, wow. He's such a soft-spoken.
Was not expecting that.
In his pockets, in his cargo pockets, just books.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, he never leaves the house without a book because he's not sure. He'll like. He's like, I'll get bored. And you never know. And what if the Wi-Fi is not good enough for my reader?
I love him so much.
He's a nerd. So anyways, he's at the club with my uncles and cousins. And it's like, this is typical Louisiana. It's hood in there. Yeah. It's a hood situation. And my brother-in-law is like, my sister, I go home because I got sick. And my sisters go to meet up with the guys. Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law comes up to my cousin Muffin, who's about that action. And it's like, I'm trying to leave, but Alex is in there with them hoes. And she goes, in there with them hoes. And like comes back like to catch him getting a lap dance or some shit. And I'm just like it's no. Just so funny that I love that she was so like ready to defend my honor. But it's also so funny to think of like he traveled across state lines and was like, yep, the night of my wife's grandfather's funeral is the time to cheat. You know what I mean? It would be wild for anyone, but for Criterion Girl, it would be insane. Like, it would be.
That would be a plot twist.
It would be a big jump.
Yeah. It would be a lot of character change there. If that happened, I would honestly think he had a brain tumor. Like, if you told me, if you told me my husband cheated, I'd be like, let's get him checked. You know, what happened?
That's what I want. I want a relationship that I can say that if you hear something so outrageous, you'd be like, nah, he has cancer.
He has cancer, or he is in the plot of Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
His body is in somebody else's body, and we have to figure out how to make the switch.
I now have a new level. My standards were already high, and now they just got...
Maybe I have way too much faith in him, but I just I know he loves me. I love so much. Like the other day, I saw this. I have a lot of stomach troubles. Like when you were talking about
hot girls have stomach troubles. Yeah.
When you were talking about incest people having stomach troubles, I was like, it's not possible, but is it possible?
It's a thing.
I hope I'm not. I hope incest is not the reason why I always have stomach trouble. But
no, it's because you're hot. Hot girls have stomach issues, and that's a fact.
I found this video of like how to get a baby to fart when they have tummy troubles.
Oh yeah.
So I said, baby, will you do this on me? And so I laid on the bed. No. You don't like, it's nothing in the butt.
No. But I know how to make babies.
You like do cycles with their feet and then you like tummy scoops.
Yes.
And I was like, let's just try it. And like, I know he was downwind of at least one of those farts.
That's love.
And like,
wow.
No one's going to love me that much. And when I think about like what it's like dating in LA, I'm just like, oh my God, if anything happens to him, I'm done. I'm out the game forever because my standard of like love and appreciation is just I've been too spoiled. Like no one's gonna fart me. No one's like
honestly. God, the fucking bar.
I mean, this is just how did you meet him?
We met doing comedy, believe it or not. We were doing stand up in Dallas. He was you're like, there is a good guy comic. I know, I got the one.
Well, you and Lace Larrabee.
Yeah, Lace's. Yeah.
Lace's, her husband Jared is also a good one. So they're rare.
I will. My husband's super, super funny, but it was kind of funny because you know how first year comics start out kind of rough.
Yeah.
Like I feel like people usually have one or two skills in the bag and then the other skill comes. For me, I was stage presence. My writing wasn't all that.
Mm-hmm.
For him, his writing was like really funny, but stage presence was just like, and the more he did it, the less he liked being on stage.
Oh, gotcha.
So he just kind of fell out of being on, like he just didn't enjoy being on stage. We get gigs and I'd be like, oh, open for me. And like, and then that was just like, I just don't want to. Because he wasn't like high energy enough to open. But like, so, I mean, I honestly, like if he wanted to get back into it, I'd be super happy for him if he wanted to. Mm-hmm. I did. There was like a little point of contention for me that was like people made the incorrect assumption that because he's a strong writer that he rates my jokes. And that always drives me crazy. It would never go the opposite way around. Jim Gaffigan credits his wife all the time and people are always like, he's one of the funniest people in the world.
Yeah, he's a genius.
They never go, he'd never be anything without her. Like, they don't think
that.
But, like, they really, like, people literally think that he just, like, parrots everything to me. And it's just like, do you think all of this disdain for men and whiteness could come
from another white, from inside?
From inside the house? No.
Okay. No, that call is not coming from inside the house.
But like, you know, it's just, but it is great to have someone to bounce ideas off of. Yeah, and of he's just a really, really sweet, awesome guy. And we started out as friends. I was dating another comic when we met,
She was a chuckle fucker, a retired chuckle fucker.
No. I just like, I'm just late. Okay. I worked for years and years as a makeup artist. So like, all my friends were women and gay men. Like, yeah. I spent so little time around straight men.
The straights.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, when am I going to meet anybody? So I dated a guy. Mm-hmm. I dated a comic at first, and it just like fell apart. He was just bleh, it was nothing.
We get that.
And then I was like, I don't want to date another comic. I don't want to be that girl who's in the scene as dating a bunch of comics. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it. And so Alex respected my wishes for so long that I was like, why won't he ask me out? And then like a year later, he was like, you said that you didn't want to date a comic. So, and I was like, so you've just been like getting to open mics early and walking me to my car for like a year and like offering to give me rides. Like, he's just like a really sweet, you know, and I didn't even realize how much I liked him until he asked out another girl. And then I was like,
I love this.
I want this to stop now.
So
then I had to just like be forward about it. Mm-hmm. And he immediately was like, let's go on a date. And it was just one of those things. And I was like,
and now he's farting you. Oh my God.
I'm releasing that pressure.
Oh my God. Okay. So we have gotten to the point where we are going to ask you our hot comic for your comic hottie, and that is somebody that is younger than you in comedy years that you see on the scene that you admire that you would like to shout out.
Somebody that's younger than me in comedy years that I admire that I'd like to shout out.
Suspense.
It's just picking one because I should pick one.
We're gonna have you pick one.
I'm gonna pick one. Then I'm gonna pick Omar Finley. He is based in LA. He started in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he is like my little brother in the comedy world. I absolutely adore him. He is so funny and so smart and such a charismatic host, and he is a really great producer. So he produces these really great shows that I can't remember the name.
We'll have them on the show notes and everything.
Yeah. So just super funny, super smart, really creative. I think he's only like at year 4 or 5, which is such the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. If you're at year 4 or 5, like just savor that. You know what you're doing. You're comfortable on stage. You're not afraid to talk to other comics, but like you haven't released anything before. So like no one expects anything. You know what I mean? You can control that. Like, don't be afraid, because you're at such a good, savor this moment right now, because then once you get a little taste of making enough money to support yourself in comedy, then it gets not fun, because then you're like, if I stop being funny, I stop eating. And that's like, it's scary. Yeah. And that's where I'm at now. But it's like, I'm also still nobody. And that's kind of,
you're somebody, you're a hot comic.
You're a hot comic, boo. Well, we adore you.
Yeah,
thank you so much for being here. Like, we could literally talk to you forever, but you know,
I want to.
Yeah, no,
I life.
Oh,
but you know, we're busy people. We got places to be, and you got places to be. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Love you guys. Bye. I mean, we told you that is a present, Jasmine Ellis.
She really is a present. She just like wraps up your aura and gives it to you in a little bow
with her Pisces energy.
Yeah, I just fucking love her.
Crypto,
yeah,
not being real. I mean, the woman knows what she's talking about.
She really does. Like, come on. But so you can find her, obviously. She has her own podcast, so you should go take a listen.
It's called Rhythm and Bay.
And you can also find her at Jasmine Ellis Comedy on Instagram.
Yes, and she has two comedy specials. Her comedy album is called Trash Baby.
Yeah, and she has a dry bar comedy special called Nobody's Queen. She's my queen, though.
She's our
queen.
Well, yeah. The thing is that she's our queen, even though if the people in Salt Lake didn't like her, whatever, the Mormons, whatever.
She's, so she's spicy.
Whatever, she's our queen.
Yeah.
You get it. We get it.
She's a hot queen.
Anyway, we love you, Jasmine. Yeah. And her hottie is Omar Finley.
He is a LA-based comedian. You can find him at Omar Finley.
With a zero as the O.
Go
clever. That's it. We have a whole bunch of new comedians ready to go for you. We're excited to be here.
So many things happening.
All the things happening.
So great.
Like, all the things.
All so many things. Like, subscribe, comment, follow.
Rate us, give us compliments. Yeah. Tell us if there's anybody that you would like to see. If you're like, oh, hey, because... No, I'm not going to say it. It's a secret. Okay. Yeah, no, it's a secret. Oh, we have so much in store for you.
You guys are so welcome. And then...
And if you're still listening.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just touch all of our things. Not our things, but the things. Please you don't. Know, on the internet.
Swag. We've got swag in our store. Yeah. So you can support. You can support us that way. Mm-hmm. You can, you know... Come see our shows live. Come to Atlanta. Fly to Atlanta today.
So if you're watching this actually on the release date, which is going to be September 3rd.
Nope, just kidding.
6th, it's 5th.
After Labor Day.
After the day after Labor Day, when you're sitting at your desk, you're bored, you have nothing to do, and you're like, wow, I really need something to go to. Go buy a ticket to go see Zaynab Johnson in Atlanta at City Winery. She's here for one night only, mm-hmm. and you will not be sad. It'll help you get through the week. I promise.
If you're not in Atlanta... Buy a ticket.
Buy a ticket and fly.
Buy a full, yeah, buy a flight. Then buy, well, buy a ticket first. So make sure that you have a ticket to the show. And then if we're not sold out already, you know the thing. But then buy a flight.
And if you're listening on YouTube and you happen to be a male and know crypto, use some of your cryptocurrency to buy that flight. You know? Buy, it all, it
do
all comes
buy,
local.
Sell, buy, sell. I don't know how you do it with crypto.
I love how you have your hands. Like, buy, sell, buy,
yeah,
sell.
Yeah, I'm on the floor of the crypto kingdom.
She's on the stock
exchange. You never know.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I'm Lissandra Vasquez.
I'm Brandi Unger. We love you. Bye.
Bye.